This is Ted and PK, and thanks for listening to Faith Radio Mornings.
You can hear us live weekdays, and you can check out highlights of our show at any time on myfaithradio.com.
It's Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, 7:38 on this Monday morning.
And it's that time to talk to Dr. Linda Mintel. She's the relationship doctor, and it's our honor to have her on every couple of weeks. A licensed clinical social worker, she specializes in marriage and family therapy, eating disorders, has a PhD in urban health and clinical psychology, and her latest book, Letting Go of Worry, we've referenced that many times, and that might be a great book for you to get a hold of as you step into the new year as well, if that's one of your resolutions. And welcome this morning. Happy New Year, Dr. Linda.
Happy New Year, and I'm just so thrilled that I'm back among the living again. I've had a week of that flu.
Oh, no.
If you haven't gotten your flu shot, I would highly recommend you do.
Yeah.
I didn't get it, and boy, my husband and I were both down for a week, so this is actually our first day back on the jobs.
Oh, glad you're feeling better. That can be scary.
Yeah. It was miserable, but we're good. I'm glad for healing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's quite the epidemic going on right now
over.
So I know I keep preaching to my family, wash your hands. Don't go around a lot of these people.
Yeah,
that are ill.
41 states I read where there it's breaking out. So people need to get their shots and be very careful.
'Tis the season. Yeah, prevention is key, of course, mm-hmm. for good health in that regard. Well, and prevention is key for our topic today as well. Talking
good
about
segue, Ted.
Yes. Well, thanks. It happens occasionally for me. Yeah, but preventing violence in family relationships or in general. This is a very good topic to revisit often, I think, because obviously, you know, you watch the news, you watch TV, you see violence everywhere, don't we?
Yes, and it's one of the ways that I actually started my writing career in terms of books. I was one of the few people in the Christian world who was asked to write a book about violence and how faith figures into that when Columbine happened. And so the very first book I wrote was Kids Killing Kids. So I've been looking at this whole business of violence, what makes people act out in the way that we've seen in both movie theaters and the Connecticut shootings and all the horrible events that we've seen in the last few weeks in our culture. And we've got to start paying attention and doing some things to begin to prevent these horrific events from happening again.
And you've kind of developed the family quiz that we thought we'd talk about today that just helps us to evaluate how well we're doing as far as our home life and how we're kind of perpetuating violence or peace in our home, too. Give us a little overview of this, starting with the first one about stress.
Well, one of the things I feel very strongly about when we're looking at, you know, I was on national radio and television when the Connecticut shooting happened the day of. And, of course, one of the biggest questions was, you know, what happened? What is wrong with this kid who would go out and do this horrific thing? And people are always trying to understand. And one of the things I want to say right up front is that we don't have a predictive model of who is going to go out and do the kinds of things that this kid did. But we can look at some of the risk factors that have been involved in all these shootings and all these people. And that's why I want to get families alerted and help them to start looking at those things that may be building in a family that could be one of the pressures that leads someone to do something in terms of an act of violence. So the very first one is looking at family stress. And there's a lot of stress in our families. There's a lot of stress in our culture today. And people are walking around feeling overwhelmed and overburdened. And if you don't have really good ways to cope with stress, and you don't teach your children good ways to cope with stress, sometimes people come to a breaking point, and they can either act out in violence, they can go into addictions as a way of sort of escaping from that stress, they can get distracted with all kinds of things like shopping and you know, sort of entertainment. But when they act out and they become violent, sometimes that's a way of relieving that horrendous stress that has been building up. And, of course, we want to learn how to not go to those kind of avenues and cope well with stress, because we're going to always have stress in our life. It's part of living.
Yeah. So do a stress check, first of all, with your family. The second one you have is asking the question, do family members support one another? Talk about that.
Well, that one kind of relates to another one that's down the line on the quiz, and that is the one about connection and intimacy. I want to put those maybe together this morning and support, because one of the things that we do see is that a lot of kids who are troubled and grow up to be troubled adults are often disconnected from people. And they're somewhat of loners. They don't really fit in. They don't really feel like They have a sense of who they are that's validated and affirmed and accepted. So in families, it's really important to be there for each other and to support one another and to look at those connections and do the work. And it does take time to spend time with your family members and get to know them and understand their heart and know where their thinking is, and really develop that type of support where family members can say, if I have a problem, I know I can go to my mom, or I know I can go to my children and I can talk to them and work through these issues rather than act out.
And we may try to do a lot of these things, but yet then there's the TV and the movies and all of that influence.
Right.
And that's really, it comes down to an issue of monitoring, doesn't it?
It does, and that's one of the things that makes this prediction of who's going to act out so difficult, because it's more than one thing that leads someone to do something horrendous when it comes to violence. But I am convinced that the amount of violence in our media is not something that is helpful to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we haven't found a direct correlation between people watching violent movies and acting out, so that isn't there. But we do know when people watch violent media that they become more desensitized to violence, that they become more fearful of the world that they live in, they become more anxious, and it could be a tipping factor for so many people. So it's really important to, when you just think about the whole idea of desensitizing kids and making them fearful of the world, you want to look at what are they viewing, what are they listening to, what are they filling their minds with. And probably everybody listening has, you know, heard a parent say garbage in, garbage out kind of idea in the mind. But it is very important in terms of what you put your mind to. And Scripture is just ripe with Scripture verses that tell us that it's so important to take our thoughts captive, to think on things that are good, and to not fill our minds with these violent, disturbing images. I can't tell you, Ted and PK, how many times when a very violent movie has come out or a dark movie has come out, I have parents coming into an office and saying, my kids are having nightmares, they're not sleeping well, they're acting funny. And a lot of times it's directly related to that violent media. So parents have to start monitoring and paying attention to what goes in the minds of their children.
I was just noticing the top two grossing movies in the box office over the weekend are the two most violent movies that are out right now.
Yeah, and we had a conversation about the one that Quentin Tarantino just put out in our family with my teenagers and young adults. And one of the quotes that I saw on a television show when he was interviewed is he loves to make violent movies. And, you know, we started talking about that in our family, and we said, to what end?
Right.
What is the end result of doing that? What is he trying to do in the culture? And, of course, he took no culpability for anything. He blamed it all on guns and something else. I can't remember what the second force was. But we do have culpability in media. We are filling the minds and giving people ideas and just filling them with this horrendous violence that cannot end in any good way for anyone.
Dr. Linda Mintel is our guest here on Faith Radio Mornings. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, a clinical social worker, professor and author as well, and a national speaker. And we have links up for her at faithradionet.com. We'll continue our conversation and go through some more of the family quiz on how to prevent violence. And your call is always welcome as well at 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. More with Dr. Linda Mintel in just a moment here on Faith Radio Mornings.
It's 7:49. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, and we're in the middle of a conversation right now with Dr. Linda Mintel, who has designed the family quiz, asking if we as parents can help prevent violence and what are we modeling to our kids. And so we're partway through this list. Linda, talk about the fact of communication. How do we communicate with our kids, and how important is that?
Well, it's vital, of course, in any relationship to have great communication. And I'm thinking, PK, of a story I saw a few years ago. I was watching an interview of a man who had murdered his family, and they were interviewing the mother of this man. And all the mother kept saying in the interview was, my son is a good boy. My son is a good boy. He just murdered his entire family. And I'm sitting there just in a gasp going, how does she not know that her son has some disturbance? What is going on here? And as the interview proceeded, of course, she'd had very little communication with her son. She really didn't know what he was up to, what his life was about. Very disconnected. So communication and staying on top of understanding what's going on with your children and keeping that communication going so you can support, you can intervene when there are issues is really, really important to the health of any family member.
I just want to also talk about tying a couple of others on your quiz together here. Speaking about healthy ways to resolve conflicts, you have that question, and as well as appropriate and effective discipline in the home. They kind of go together, don't they?
They do, because we are going to have conflict in our families, and we have conflict in our jobs and conflict in, you know, so many areas of our life, in the church, all kinds of places. And I'm really convinced that people really don't have great models for dealing with conflict. Again, I think that's why we have so many problems in our culture with addiction and other ways of escaping and distracting ourselves rather than dealing with the hard issues of life. So it's important to understand that conflict is normal, that conflict can be handled, that not all conflict can be solved, but it's the way you handle conflict, the way you talk about it, the way you deal with it, that is so important, again, to the health of relationships. And then, of course, when there is a problem, that at an early age you begin to discipline your kids and you show them that there are consequences for the way that they behave when they're doing things that hurt other people. That is very, very important, not to just slough things off, turn an eye, laugh at inappropriate times when kids are bullying or doing something that is not appropriate, but have some very serious consequences that will make kids stop and think about their actions.
And I think the whole point of resolving conflicts, even as adults, just taking that responsibility to be the adult, you know, as opposed to maybe reacting and blowing up at every single thing as a parent, well, we're modeling that too. And I think of so many families where I see that's the instant reaction to something that doesn't go their way. They just have anger. And so that's modeled, and it just gets lived out in their children's lives. A good chance of it anyway.
Right, because children grow up in that kind of environment, and they don't see their parents modeling a way of dealing with conflict. I've had, you know, when you're treating someone with an eating disorder, typically they will say, my parents never had conflict. And I'm like, What family do you live in? I've never heard of a family that never has conflict. But what happens in those families, particularly the families of someone with anorexia, is that the parents don't deal with conflict. They put on a happy face. They make everything look okay. They're more concerned with their image. And then you have the other side of that, which a lot of times we'll see in families with a bulimic, where the family is very chaotic. There's constant crises. They're reacting. They're impulsive. They're not controlling their emotions. And they're acting out. And that's a model that is also taught where a person doesn't know how to regulate that emotion. And if we're really looking at a key factor, Ted and PK, about what can we do to help kids, that would be one of the key areas that I would see is learning how to monitor and regulate our own emotions, particularly when they're negative, and then learning how to calm ourselves down, to soothe ourselves, to come at a conflict in a way that's sensible and reasonable and try to work through issues. If we could model that for kids and kids could have that going into their adult lives, that would be a huge way of equipping them for good.
Dr. Linda Mental, again, our guest here on Faith Radio Mornings. We have links up for her website at faithradionet.com. You can investigate her books there as well, faithradionet.com. You know, as a parent, I think about unconditional love and how you want your kids to know that they are loved, but there's also natural consequences for when they misbehave. It can be kind of a fine line. Say a word about unconditional love, Linda.
Well, it's a biblical concept. Obviously, God loves us when we're messing up and we're doing wrong things and we sin and we don't act the way that we're supposed to in terms of representing Him. And as long as we confess those things and repent, I mean, God loves us either way, whether we do or we don't. His love is never retracted from us. It's always there. He pursues us. He loves us. He comes after us. And that's the model that as parents we are to have with our kids. But as it is in the biblical kingdom, there are consequences when we sin that sometimes follow our sin, even though we're forgiven. And the same is true in parenting, that you have to take that discipline. You have to help a child understand what is right and wrong and the natural consequences of what happened. And too often I see parents covering up for their kids or sloughing off, it's not that big of a deal, or not just not doing anything about it because they're embarrassed or they're ashamed. And instead, we've got to get in there and show them that a biblical model is to love them no matter what, but also discipline them and help them understand and train them up in a way so that they don't depart from it.
And that ties right into our kids knowing what's right and wrong. Sometimes we just assume that they're little miniature adults, but they haven't lived that yet, and they haven't been modeled that or trained that. And yet I find it hard that sometimes we're not taking charge and not being the parent. We'll let it, you know, so many times I hear stories of how the kids are kind of running the show.
Well, and there's so much relativity in our culture. Everything is just reduced to whatever feels good for you at the moment. If you're not hurting anybody, it's okay. Mm-hmm. We really live in a very different culture from the one I grew up in which there were standards. And now, if you take a stand for the truth or you say this is wrong behavior, you get accused of being intolerant or judging somebody. And a lot of kids are really afraid to take a stand on what's right and wrong because they feel like they're going to be judged that way and be intolerant. So we have got to get in there. And every time something happens in the news, I mean, my kids are probably so sick of having these conversations, but, you know, we just had the news of Kim Kardashian having a baby. And I had a conversation with my young adults about what is that right? Is that okay? Is it all right not to be married, to be celebrating a child out of wedlock? Or is that the way the Bible sets it up for families to begin? And I think you've got to just keep pounding away at the cultural think and contrasting that to what the Bible says, because the Bible doesn't change and it is always relevant to today's world.
I really like how you're asking them the question too, instead of just coming out and saying this is wrong, that's wrong, because that
right.
won't get you an audience, will it?
No, and you have to have a conversation and you have to get them to think, because they just sort of go along with what's going on in the culture, and it's so pervasive, even the thinking in the church, that I've, you know, worked with a lot of youth groups where we've sat down and we've just picked apart lyrics of songs, we've looked at movies, we've talked about how does this impact us in terms of what Scripture has to say. And I'm amazed at the number of kids who aren't really thinking that way and need to have those conversations.
And that ties into spending time together too, which you had touched on before. It's having the family dinner time together if
yes.
you can, and it's just finding those moments, those teaching moments when you're driving in the car,
right.
and taking those. We have like less than a minute left, Linda, and let's talk about the mental health issues, because I think that's important to recognize that and then to get help too.
Right, and that really, really is important, because we have so many ways to help people now in mental health. When kids are struggling, they're not fitting in, they're feeling disenfranchised, they're lonely, they're bullied, whatever the issue is, if a parent will get them help and not hesitate on that and not feel like there's something terribly wrong with them if they ask for help, there are so many tools and so many things that we can do with kids and so many programs in schools and other places that can really get a kid that's on the wrong path and move him to the right direction, and can be partnering with parents. This is not about blaming anybody. This is about getting kids the help that they need so that they don't have severe depression or they don't have these urges to act out.
Mm-hmm.
They know that somebody is there and somebody's helping them.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Linda. It's great talking with you this morning. We've got the family quiz posted, too, on her blog, on our website at faithradionet.com. We've been talking with Dr. Linda Mintel. And thank you again for joining us, Dr. Linda. Have a wonderful new year, and we look forward to talking to you again.
All right, you too. Thanks,
yep.
guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.